The following is a production of the Geek.io Media Network. For more geeky goodness, go to geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io for more information.
Comparison flying and insurance, PDF app, new flagships, and more. This is the Android Realm Podcast, episode number 221, Backend Changes. Welcome back to the episode, everybody. Sorry for the abrupt cancellation, or I guess postponing, of last week's episode. I will get into that at the end of the episode. It's a bit of sad news, or a bit of, or more of a headache on my part, really. Doesn't affect the show, or at least at the time it did, just because of when it happened, but things are in the process, so I'll jump into that a little bit at the end of the episode. So with that, I will jump into this week's episode. It will cover last week's news and this week's news, so quite a go-through, and then also a Sekara-related update as well. There's no actual change, but just a heads up in case anyone is curious. So with that, I'll jump into the episode, the usual headlines, apps, and devices. I will have a quick tip at the end of the episode. It was something I was going to do last week. I didn't have a chance to do anything for this week just because of the transition for what happened last week, but things should resume over the next couple of days and should be back to normal for next week. So with that, I'll jump right into the headlines. So to start off, Google is now going to allow developers to promote their apps in Google Play as a means of, I guess, specific advertising. So as a developer, you can get promoted for or show off your new app as you release them into Google Play. Google Plus's mobile site got updated with more material design and easier share options. So if you don't want to use the app, or you find you prefer the mobile site a little bit more than the app, then that is now an option. T-Mobile added a website or a page to their web track Android device updates as the tools like. So if you happen to have one of those devices, you can see the estimated update timeline or when you should be getting an update, so you know how long you have to wait, or if you're not even going to get an update as well. So it is an interesting site to have, and it's good that they are providing that information, a little bit of transparency on T-Mobile's part. Google made a semi-controversial, because they did reverse it a bit. But last week, Google made the announcement that they're going to start banning sexually explicit content on bloggers. So regardless of what kind of content what kind of sexually explicit content it was, whether it was for art or other purposes, they were going to ban it all. But they have sort of reversed their decision in that they're going to take on a case-by-case basis. They're not going to block it entirely, but it has to be for legitimate purposes like artwork. So I guess the case has to be built up as far as what can be considered art or not, but that is the stance at the moment. So definitely read into those guidelines in case you do have a site that may be affected by this. For those of you who like to back up your music to Google Play Music, they have upped the limit for the number of songs you can back up to 50,000, so definitely an increased limit there. I don't have that many songs myself, so not a big issue, but if you, for example, did transition from iTunes to or iOS to Android, and you want to bring your music over, that is now, it should be a little bit easier if you do have that many songs. This week, or last week, Google and Yandex are maybe going to trial for an antitrust case against Google. This is in Russia, so Yandex is Russia's primary or most popular search engine, from my understanding, so we'll see how that works itself out. Last week, Google bought digital payment company Softcard. The announcement then is that they're planning on installing, or related news is to install, pre-install Google Wallet onto AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon devices and use the technology behind Softcard. The update for this week is that Softcard will be shut down as of March 31st. So if you were a Softcard user, you should be able to start switching over to Google Wallet soon. The current expectation is that Google will be making an announcement about Wallet at Google I/O and what kind of partnerships and abilities and changes will be coming then. In a post on Google Plus, a new Chromebook Pixel was announced to be in the works as a new reference device, so not necessarily to be used as a day-to-day device, unless you can, if it works for you, then perfect, but it's not intended to be a day-to-day device, so look out for that as a sequel or successor to the original Chromebook Pixel. The Google Flights site was updated last week to now be easier to find flights and get great rates. So I believe the site's just google.com/flights, so definitely check it out. It is pretty simple and straightforward, very utilitarian like other Google pages, so it's worth checking out if you want an easy way to get flight rates. I'm definitely going to give it a shot next time I need to fly somewhere, see how I'm out on that compared to other similar sites. Android for Work was also announced. It is now it's an updated platform for Android for Work. So essentially, you're gonna get things like Work Profile. It is a default option in Lollipop. You can get the app for Android version 4.4 and before. There's gonna be an updated Google Play for Work, so you get specific tools for work and productivity in that version of the Play Store. And various built-in productivity tools, so things like support for exchanges and or exchange and notes. So it's supposed to be very business and productivity focused and friendly. If you're a game developer, Google has released some new analytics and monetization tools. So if you want to make some money or easily track your various stats for your game, then that it should be a little bit easier. At Mobile World Congress this week, Google made an early announcement that they'll be working on a new wireless subscription plan based on existing networks. So essentially, rather than build up their own network, they'll be piggybacking on other networks. A current rumor is that it'll be based on Sprint or T-Mobile's network, maybe both. And it's supposed to be a slow rollout like Google Fiber based on early reports and rumors and things like that. But more information should be coming out in the coming weeks, so we'll hear more about the plan, how they plan to roll it out. The other rumor that I was hearing late in this past week was that they'll only be using Nexus 6-based device or Nexus devices on the network to be able to use it, so we'll see if that's turned out to be just a rumor or if that's true. I imagine that it's probably something like only as while they're testing that it's going to be Nexus 6 and they'll expand to other devices as time moves on, but that is the current story, so I can't wait to hear more about that. This week, Google Plus was announced to be getting split into photos and streams, so if you don't want to use Google Plus or don't use it at all, those two options will be separated into their own services. I haven't seen the split just yet, so I'm not sure if it's gone into effect, but many say, the rumor and the stories going around that it's the downfall or demise of Google Plus, and the split up is just for tools that can be used elsewhere. And this week, CyanogenMod announced that they have a partnership with Qualcomm to now use them to supply them with their processors in their devices. So we'll see how much better CyanogenMod-based devices work with Qualcomm processors, or if they just want to use them as a means of building devices on a specific chipset. They also did show off a new logo after this partnership. I'm not sure if it's for the Qualcomm partnership specifically or the company itself, but there is a new logo there as well. Google made an announcement this week that they're going to start offering Waze to be pre-installed on future smartphones. So if you do prefer Waze over Google Maps or just want to use some of the features that are available in Waze, like traffic information on updates and things like that, that may be an option. Android Pay was announced as a new framework for developers to build it into their own apps. So if you want to have a payment system based on Android Pay, kind of like an extension, I believe, on Google Wallet, then is going to be a new option. Google $25 million last week to buy three new domains, namely .app, .soy, and .how. So if you want a specific landing page using Google, I believe this will all be part of Google domain. So if you want to have, for example, mynewapp.app, then that will be an option. The .how domain was specifically noted to be a way for people to have a site based on tutorials and things like that. So if you want to show people how to do things, that will definitely come in handy. Google made another announcement that they're no longer going to be requiring full disk encryption on Android devices. The only exception is the Nexus baseline. I guess the performance of it and probably certain back-end issues were not performing as up to par as they had hoped. So if you're on a non-Nexus device, that is an update there, so look out for that. If you haven't noticed, then you may have had it enabled and your device is powerful enough, or it doesn't bother you as much for any performance issues you may have had, but that is the change going on there. Google Play Games is getting updated to get a better ad support for easier and expanded monetization for developers. So a lot of developer-friendly updates, so if you want to better track and monetize your game, that is an option. For those of you who wanted a panorama flyover of the Amazon, the Google Street View cameras have created that panorama, so definitely check that out. In a announcement that I initially thought seemed a little bit similar to Apple's Spaceship Campus, but more utilitarian, Google submitted a plan this week to create a modular office space in four locations to make it easy for them to grow and adjust to business needs. So they'll create an office space, for example, for one project, and if they want to redo that space for another project type, then they can easily take it apart and rebuild it for the new project. So it's adaptable to whatever project is being made. This week we found out that Google's been working on an AI called DeepMind. Essentially, it's a learning computer to help it figure out certain situations and solutions and things like that to perform things better. It was able to figure out how to play over 600 Atari 2600 games on its own and generally beat them at various times in length. I didn't see how long it took, if it was on par or better than par or anything like that, but it was able to play the games on its own. Google's also announced that they built a quantum computer chip for error detection and how to not create new errors at the same time. This is essentially at the chip level, so using this quantum computing chip is supposed to be, from my basic understanding of it, an ability to check computational errors and things like that and perform more complex computations without actually creating new issues at the same time. So should bring a more advancements in the future. Another update to Google Search this week, though, is that the Google's knowledge graph on cocktail recipes has been added to, so you can now search for cocktail recipes and get recipes right in search. You'll see the screenshot in this week's post of, for example, a screwdriver recipe. So something's pretty simple, so I figured I'd see what came up, and it was pretty cool. It gives you the measurements and all of that stuff, and the link to the Wikipedia article and all that good stuff, so it's definitely worth checking out. And finally, Google announced or released a new tool for comparing auto insurance rates. So if you're in the market for auto insurance or want to see if you're getting a good deal, just visit it's google.com/compare, and you'll get started with the tool. So you'll fill in things like your personal information, your name, age, address, things like that, then your car information, what kind of plans you want, have you been in an accident lately, or I think in the past 3 years or something like that. And then you can adjust various rate options and see what kind of rates you get from various car insurance companies. So definitely worth checking out. The rates seemed, from my initial look, on par for example, for what I'm paying right now for my insurance and what I imagine the rates to be. The rates are based on a 6-month premium, so just something to compare in case you think it seems kind of low or too high. So there's that. And then you get noted for two prices. One is a prepayment for the 6 months, which is a little bit lower, and then you also get a monthly payment rate over the 6 months. Your initial month is a little bit higher, and then a little bit lower payments for the subsequent months, but that totals a little bit more from my criteria than the 6 month prepayment. So there's something to consider, but that's where that difference in price comes in. So that's all for that. So with that, I'll jump into the apps for this week. So Google Calendar got an update this week to add Pinch to Zoom and easier linking to events and a new 7-day view. So it's more of viewing upcoming events over the short term and more easily being able to view the various events. Google now got an update to start showing gas stations on your driving route. So as you start driving home, if you do need to fill up on gas and you see a gas station on the way, that is now should be available. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm usually not messing around with my phone as I drive, so I haven't seen it as of yet. For those of you who use the Expose module, Gravity Box was updated to now be available for the Expose module on Lollipop, so it's worth checking. It's an all-in-one module tool to use if you want to add various features. It still is in early alpha mode, from my understanding, so be careful with using it. It can cause errors and things like that. Twitter got an update to now have the while you were away feature, so it should be a little bit easier to see things that you missed while you were not using Twitter since the last refresh. Google Play Services got updated to version 7.0. It adds nearby connections and a new API for places, so a little bit of an expansion on the location-based services. VLC got had a couple of announcements this week. The first is that it got an update for material design, so it should look a little bit better on your Lollipop beta channel. So if you want to get their updates a little bit faster or check out some of the new features coming up, then that is now an option. For those of you who use Ingress, it is now available for Android Wear, so you can get your notifications on your Android Wear device. The Contacts app was updated this week. That's the default Contacts app for Android. So if you used it before, you may have seen that it didn't look that great. It was starting to show its age. But if you visit, I believe it's google.com/contacts, or just search Google Contacts or Android Contacts, you should see their site. It got it updated with material design and an improved duplicate entry feature, so you can clean up your contact list a little bit more easily. So I did actually ran it. I verified that the information should go together. I didn't have too many to check, but if you trust it to do its thing, you can just hit merge. It'll merge contacts, but you can review it before it merges it, so it's definitely worth checking out. If you own an Android device, it still runs Android 4 Ice Cream Sandwich. Chrome is no longer going to be supported for it. I believe the latest version 42, is the last version to be supported on it. So if you're still using that Android 4 device, you may want to start using another browser. I believe Opera and Dolphin Browser still get updated for it, so they may still work. I haven't had a chance to double check that, but that is the update for Chrome. If you wanted a native app for viewing PDFs, Google released a new PDF viewer, so you can install that app as a means of viewing PDFs, especially if you just want to view it or don't want the official Adobe version. It is available in Google Play, so you can search for it there and install and check it out. This week, as a random announcement that I saw, Mortal Kombat is going to be released as a new game on Android in April 2014. It's going to be the traditional game, but it'll be updated with team battles and card collecting, so a couple of new features for mobile gameplay. Google AdWords is now available for all Android users. The app is available now in Google Play, so if you do use AdWords for promotions, definitely check it out. Gmail for iOS got an update this week as well, and it now has quick actions, a new attachment view, and attaching files from other apps, so a few different back-end updates there. And finally, Google Drive got updated with drag-and-drop support, so you can now more easily move files in Google Drive that way as well. So it's pretty nifty. I tried it quickly. It does seem to work well, so definitely check it out. But with that, I'll now move into the devices for this week. So to start it off, this is another quick tip, but I guess it's also sort of an update, but the Chromebook app launcher now allows you to perform calculations directly. So if you open up your app launcher and type in, for example, 2 times 2, it'll show 2 times 2, and then the next line it'll say equals 4, so it's pretty simple. And then various calculator instructions are there, so I did one, so I typed in SQRT 144, so it's the square root of 144, and gave me 12, so if you need to do a quick calculation, that is now an option. The HTC RE camera got updated this week to now have enabled. If you're on AT&T and you own the 2014 Moto X, it's soak test started for Android 5.0.2, so look out for that. If you're in Canada, the LG G3 is starting to get its Android 5 update. In Europe, the HTC One M7 is starting to get its Android 5 update. And in India, Android One devices are starting to get their Lollipop update, so a few different devices there. For those of you who have a Samsung Galaxy S3, Paranoid Android have announced that version 5 Alpha 1 is now available. It is based on Android 5 Lollipop, from my understanding, so look out for that if you want to give it an early shot. The Google Nexus 9 got an early version ROM called PacROM LP Beta 1, so if you want their version of the ROM on your Nexus 9, definitely check it out. The CyanogenMod 12S and the Oxygen OS Lollipop update for the OnePlus One are expected to arrive mid, so look out for that coming soon. Arcos made an announcement that they're going to start selling Chromebooks to students in France for education, so I didn't see too much as far as what specific models or if it's going to be in any model in general, but that is coming soon. Next up, though, on last Sunday, March 1st, we had two big announcements, the HTC One M9 and the Samsung Galaxy S6, so actually three, and also the Galaxy S6 Edge. The S6 Edge and the S6 seem close enough to me in general features, but except for one main difference. But so we have three new Android devices coming soon. So as far as the HTC One M9, it's going to comes with a 64-bit octa-core processor, 32 gigs of storage, 3 gigabytes of RAM, a 20-megapixel rear camera, which does support recording video up to 4K. Has a 5-inch display, a 2840 milliamp hour battery, and Android 5, so a pretty big spec jump from the M8 and definitely the M7. The Galaxy S6 is going to come with a 5.1-inch screen, a 16-megapixel rear camera with auto real-time HDR, so that's the feature for that. A 64-bit octa-core processor, Android 5, it's going to come with storage options of 32, 64, or 128 gigabytes, and have 3 gigs of RAM, so more or less similar to the M9, so it depends on which brand you prefer more. The Galaxy S6 Edge looked like it had about the same specs as the S6, except it has a little strip on the side for the extra display, and it's also slightly lighter and smaller than the S6. Otherwise, it's more or less the same spec-wise, so it depends on if you want that little thing on the side for quick app launching and tickers and things like that. But two pretty good phones, so I can't wait to see them in person and see and try them out. At least I'll see if I can get my hands on that one at a discount, but I'm also going to be waiting for my contract to expire. In other news, though, the HTC Lollipop kernel was released, so developers can start working with that. Arcos announced three Android tablets this week. The first is a 94 Magnus. It comes with Android 4.4, a quad-core 1.4 GHz processor, 9.4-inch screen, 15 gigs of RAM. Oh, actually, looks like 1.5 gigs of RAM. I have 15 gigs of RAM seemed kind of high. 256 gigs of storage, a 5-megapixel rear camera, and a 6400 milliamp hour battery. So pretty powerful there. I was reading that the more high-end model of the three. There's also the Arcos 101 Magnus, which has a 10.1-inch screen, a quad-core 1.3 gigahertz processor, 64 gigs of storage, 1 gig of RAM, and a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, so the lower end version of that. And the third one is a 101 Magnus Plus, so it has a 10.1 inch screen, 2 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage, a 5 megapixel rear camera, a 7,000 milliamp hour battery, and a quad core 1.8 gigahertz processor. So the mid range device more on the performance side of things. Sony this week announced the Xperia Z4 comes with Android 5, a 10.1 inch screen, 64-bit octa-core processor, a 6,000 milliamp hour battery, 32 gigs of storage, 8 megapixel rear camera, and it's water resistant up to 1.5 meters and for 30 minutes, and it's also dust resistant. So I guess that's comparable to the Galaxy, or in between the Galaxy S5 and 6, so pretty much up there. So definitely worth checking out. For those of you on Verizon, though, the HTC One 8 is starting to get its Android 5 update, so look out for that. On Sprint, the Galaxy Note 4 is getting its Android 5 update. The Galaxy Note 3 on T-Mobile is getting updated to Android 5. And finally, if you're in Europe, the Note 4 is going to start getting a CyanogenMod 12 nightlies. So if you want to have Android 5 as an aftermarket installation, that's what we're checking out. And that is for the model number N910F. So with that, after the short break, I'll jump right into this week's quick tip. So with all these new devices coming out, you may be considering to get yourself a brand new pair of headphones, or you find that the headphones you may be getting with your device aren't just not that great, or you just want an extra pair of headphones for being out and about. And that's where our friends over at Tweaked Audio come in. They have 7 great styles and 7 great colors, so they'll have that look and feel that meets your needs. They come in microphone and non-microphone versions, so you can have just the generic ones for listening to podcasts, music, videos, things like that. Or you can have the microphone version if you do find yourself on the phone or you want voice dictation or voice controls or things like that. So definitely worth checking out. And they're also noise reducing, so you hear more of what you're listening to and less of the outside world. And they have great customer support, so if you have questions, comments, or anything like that, you can always contact them and they're happy to help you out. And when you visit geek-io.net/tweaked and use the promo code GEEK at checkout, you'll also get 1/3 off your order. So you not only will you get a great pair of headphones, you'll also save some money at the same time. So we thank them for their support, and we hope you show them your support as well. That's geek-io.net/tweaked and use the promo code GEEK at checkout. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's quick tip, and then a bit of and we'll be done with this week's episode. So what I was going to cover last week, or what I was able to double check in the past couple of weeks, is that if you have the latest version of Google Now and you have an internet connection, you can now toggle 3 toggles with your voice. Namely, the 3 toggles that are available are the flashlight, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth. So if you do have OK Google announced from any or available for any screen, you can just say OK Google. If you don't, then you'll open up your Google app. I believe it's part of Google Now, but I don't have a non-Google Now device to double check. But once you have Google Now open it, or your voice recognition open, all it's say is turn on flashlight or turn off flashlight, turn Wi-Fi on or turn Wi-Fi off, and then turn Bluetooth on or turn Bluetooth off. It'll enable and disable those toggles for you, so you don't even need to touch your device. So let's say you're driving home, you realize your battery's low, and you want to turn off your Wi-Fi because it just to try and save some battery. That is now an option. Or for example, if you're phone is at an angle and you want to turn your flashlight on to anybody, you can't take your hands off of what you're doing, then you can just say, okay, Google, turn flashlight on or turn off flashlight. It'll turn off for you. When you're done, you can say turn off flashlight. So pretty nifty and nothing too special there, but it is one of those options that is available. So that is really all for that. So with that, a bit of news. So last week, I went to run an update on my HTC One M7, and it got stuck in a boot loop, I want to say, on the HTC screen. So I'm not sure what happened. Somehow, the entire partition for the OS got wiped, so it would not boot up. I tried basically all of, or for the rest of Friday and all, most of Saturday to try and get it to work with no luck. So I ended up taking it to the AT&T store for repair. They couldn't do it either. So I have a friend who I'm having give it a shot, see if this friend can do it for me, and I'm going to go from there. Otherwise, I am out of luck with that device. It's fully dead. I'll probably keep Pry on my own just to see if I can get it going. I know I had a similar issue on my old Samsung Captivate, and I was able to get it working again. So we'll see if it's just a matter of changing some settings or killing the battery and starting over or whatever. But we shall see. But that's where I'm at with that right now. Luckily, this doesn't affect the Android realm because I'm still the Android fanboy, and Android Realm Podcast is my show. But I am using my sister's old iPhone 4 as a just basically as a means of having phone calls and SMS. I'm using it for everything else, but as a side note, I so far haven't had a need to buy anything through iTunes for apps and stuff. It's all mostly Google stuff and stuff that I can get that translates over for free. So the transition back to an Android device will be pretty straightforward. I'm generally using my Captivate as well, but things like the headphones port are messed up, and I didn't want to get a new SIM card just for that device, because I switch over the micro SIM card, sorry, and it's easier just to switch between the new devices on the, for as far as that, between the iPhone and any new Android device. So that's basically the reasoning there. So in the meantime, while my to see if I can get my HTC One fixed, I'm using an iPhone and I'm using my Captivate. So a little bit of change there. As far as the Android Realm Digest goes, I was considering last week to just release that without an episode, but I got really busy in trying to fix my phone and I didn't have a chance to do it. But this week there will be that released. The pricing on it will remain at 99 cents. I'm not going to double up on it or account for the fact I didn't release it that week or because there's more content this week or anything like that. Price is 99 cents, so that's how it will stay going forward as far as the pricing. So there's that. If you want to get in touch with me, you can always reach me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can find this show and more shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. That's really all there is for this particular episode. I know I am forgetting something, so I will just leave it at that. And thank you for tuning in, and until next time.